WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Join us as we head to the burbs to visit a special museum in Oak Brook that rocks. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. As a part of our ongoing summer series, we're taking you off the beaten path to museums you won't be seeing on museum campus. Last week, we kicked things off with a visit to the McCormick Bridge House and Chicago River Museum. And this week, we made our way to the Lizadra Museum of Lapidary Art. That's the art of engraving, cutting, and polishing gems and stones. So we sent out Reset intern Jules Yeager and producer Linnea Dominic to see what lapidary art is all about. After their field trip, I sat down with them and started by asking if their experience was really as cool as it sounds.
100%.
Yeah.
Like you went to a place just full of gemstones.
Yeah.
Exceeded expectations. For those who might not know, Jules, tell us more about what lapidary art is.
So lapidary is the art and hobby of gemstones and precious stones, but also organic materials like amber, pearl, petrified wood, and also like all of the arts that have to do with gemstones. So polishing them, cutting them, carving them, making art out of them. We saw dioramas of them.
Dioramas?
Like animals carved out of gemstones placed in their habitats.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you had me at hunting for gemstones because my first thought, Linnea, is where do I go?
Yeah. When I knew I was going with Jules to this museum, I was like, okay, carvings of gemstones. I think I was expecting something kind of small. Like I was expecting a rock shop, if I'm completely honest with you. That is not what it is at all.
So what does the space look like?
So you go in and it's a one level museum. It's a little bit dimly lit because it really puts into relief these gorgeous displays of huge, beautifully, intricately carved statues and sculptures.
Wow.
And so they are spotlit. And the first thing you see when you walk in is a blue jade incense burner that's about 2.5 feet tall. And blue jade is extremely, extremely rare.
Wow.
So right off, you're like, I'm in a really special place.
And you're like, okay, this is not just a place with rocks
this
in a box.
This is not just a rock shop in a box at all. There were several groups of children there doing tours. So that created this really fun atmosphere because they were doing scavenger hunts. So they're running around like oohing and aahing over everything. And I'm oohing and aahing over everything.
Right.
Because it's just, everything is shiny. Everything is like so intricate and just jaw dropping.
And so as far as, you know, the things you can see at this museum, I mean, you've also noted that there are mosaics.
Oh yeah. There's mosaics, there's jade sculptures. And when Jules told me about the mosaics, I was like, sure, you know, I've seen mosaics. No.
Not like these.
Like, take everything you've ever seen and just take that out of your brain and put in the most intricate, like you look at it and you think it's a painting, but you get closer and the stones are, I'm telling you, the size of a baby's fingernail.
Oh my goodness.
So tiny, so skilled. How did someone make that?
Incredible. Now, Jules, let's go back to something you teased earlier. There's modern lapidary art. So I want to hear about these dioramas.
There are dioramas of animals in their habitats. So there's a village in Germany that they have these animal carvings from. It's called Idar-Oberstein. And there are little polar bears in their snowy habitat. There are beautifully carved agate robins, like perching on tree branches.
Oh my goodness.
So they bought, you know, they brought these carvings to the museum and then built the habitats around them.
Oh, that must look really cool.
It's
it does.
delightful.
Almost like it's coming to life.
It's almost like funny. Like we almost were laughing. There's one that's a couple of mice, like Jasper mice around like an agate cheese, like next to some cupboards. It's very, very funny.
There's an earth sciences section of the museum too, Jules?
Yeah. So the director of the museum who took us on our lovely tour has a geology background. And he was telling us about how the museum really combines the human and the natural. And the earth sciences section is very, very much the natural. So it's geared a little bit more, I would say, towards kids. It's very much shows us like the raw materials that these intricate carvings come from. Mm-hmm. There's like a case that has all of the, like, here's what you can see in Illinois. So we can see like the state rock or the state stone, which is Dolus stone. It's what all of our highways are made of.
What is that? What's the state rock?
So it's new. Students campaigned for the state rock about 2 years ago. And now there is one. Like the governor signed it into law and like had a little ceremony with them.
Oh, wow.
Like these elementary schoolers. And now it's our state stone.
Yeah.
It's what the bedrock is made of.
Oh, cool.
Underneath the state.
Very cool. So we mentioned this. You two visited the Lizadro Museum of Lapidary Art. So I've got to ask the obvious. Who is Lizadro, Jules?
Yeah, so he was an Italian immigrant to Illinois who came and started working for Mead Electric and worked his way up and became an executive. And at the time, I believe it was in the 40s, he got really into lapidary as a hobby, which was a bigger hobby at the time, sort mm-hmm. of the collecting and carving of gemstones. And the story goes that he wanted to make himself a pair of jade cufflinks, but it was hard to get raw jade at the time.
Right.
So he found a way to buy a jade. I believe it was a vase that was the weight and type of jade that he needed and ordered it. And it came and he looked at it and thought, there's no way I can cut this up for cufflinks and kept it. And his collection grew. And it was like in his living room. And eventually in 1962, he made a museum.
Most of the pieces in the museum are from his collection, as Jules just mentioned. Now, there are efforts in the art world to uncover how antiquities from other countries and cultures, how they actually came to be in the hands of American collectors. Right, Linnea? I mean, what else can you tell us about those talks?
Yeah, it's happening globally. During colonialism, when European powers went into other countries, they felt like they had a claim to not just the natural resources, not just the labor of the people living there, but also to what they were discovering from the land. And so they were digging and they were finding these incredible treasures. When that happens, you have this big question of, if a colonial power is extracting this from a country, do they really have a claim to it? If they start the path of ownership and provenance, which is what museums use to understand the legitimacy, the authenticity, and the paper trail of who has owned an object, mm-hmm. if it has been taken by a colonial power without consent from the people of that country, how do we grapple with that? Mm-hmm. So this is just something that museums across the world are having to figure out. And so when we asked the executive director of the museum, Kyle Brill, he was telling us that Lizadro's collection came from a lot of pieces that were leaving the country in the 1930s and 40s. And at that time in China, they were fighting against the Japanese invasion. And there was a lot of effort to save these incredible art pieces. So Lizadro was getting a lot of his collections from this time.
I see.
Is what we were told. And one piece that was really astonishing visually is the Altar of the Green Jade Pagoda. It's massive. 150 artisans worked on it for over 10 years. And at its completion, it's over 1,000 carved pieces. And the artist brought it to the United States. And in 1933, it was actually debuted at the Century of Progress exhibition in Chicago. And it stayed in the United States through the 60s, and it was eventually gifted to Mr. Lizadro. Mm. We asked Kyle about the ethics of these gorgeous pieces being here in suburban Illinois rather than in China, and this is what he had to say.
None of these were stolen. I mean, if you have art that you make and somebody wants to display it in China, in Africa, in Antarctica, if you as the artist were compensated for that, or as the owner of the piece of art, like, I guess is... We can't learn about cultures if we don't have exposure to different cultures.
He says the museum has gotten no requests for repatriation and that artists in China are still selling jade pieces abroad. And that, to the best of the museum's knowledge, all the pieces there have been given freely by the artist or the owner.
So Jules, for the person listening right now who is still not convinced after hearing especially that story from Linnea. Why should folks go here?
It's really the sense of awe that you get being there.
Mm-hmm.
The director also spoke to that. He emphasized the sense of possibility and the sense of wonder that you get walking around the museum.
If you take the time and look around and really understand what something is, that you can create new and wonderful things, right? And that we have a few pieces of raw jade dispersed throughout the museum to just remind people what this started as. And if you can take that and make something this beautiful, you know, what other things can we do as human beings?
And that goes back to the idea that we talked about with him of the museum combining the natural and the human. Like, he talks about there are these pieces of natural material around the museum, and then there are these incredible pieces like that incense burner that Linnea talked about.
Yes.
Where they're carved out of a boulder, but they have these interlocking chains that move if you were to move the piece.
Yeah. I love the fact that that's right at the entrance too, yeah. Right? As you described. So what would you say if you could narrow it down? Because it sounds like there's so many gems, pun intended. What's the best thing that you both saw at the Lizadro Museum? You first, Linnea.
I think immediately I would say the mosaics. Mm. My great-grandfather was an Italian stonemason, so I have to say that.
Yes.
But upon reflection, I think it is the ivory puzzle ball. So it is 24 nested spheres nested inside of each other. I'm going to say 24. Can you imagine that?
Carved out
of ivory. And you can move them. And so that the holes all line up and you can see through them. And there are these clouds and dragons carved all over the surface of these spheres. It's just stunning.
Like, oh my goodness.
Someone made that.
It's beautiful. Jules, what caught your eye?
I also have to say the mosaics, even though my grandfather was not an Italian stonemason. They were incredible. Like our mouths were hanging open looking at them. There's a type of mosaic. I believe it's the Florentine mosaic, where there's no grout used. They just carve the pieces so precisely that they fit together like seamlessly and stay together and look like a painting and are so beautiful. But I was also astonished by the cameos. So they're usually a portrait about the size of like a pendant on a necklace. Often they are a pendant on a necklace. And I always thought a cameo was a white piece of like stone carved into someone's face affixed to a dark background. Mm-hmm. But I learned at the museum, they're actually carved from one piece of stone or natural material, like often a shell,
mm-hmm.
that has multiple layers of color.
Oh.
And that was such like an astonishing discovery to me.
What an
somehow.
Effect that's got to create. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to visualize that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, I'm also curious because a gemstone museum, it's got to have a pretty good gift shop, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They had tons of things. They had puzzle balls like the one Linnea saw, much less intricate, fewer spheres, not made of ivory, but beautiful and fascinating nonetheless. They had fossils that you could buy, fossilized fish.
Mm.
They had mosaics that you could buy, small ones that were beautiful. Lots of stuff for kids, lots of natural stones, lots of jewelry. It was a fantastic gift shop.
So safe to say you recommend this museum?
Oh my gosh, yeah. But don't take it from us. Take it from Julie from Morton Grove and Dee Dee from Wilmette.
My friend and I are adventurers. We like to go on trips. And so we made a field trip out here. I have heard about this museum for years, and I finally been able to get here. It is fabulous and very surprising that it's not out there more than it is.
Yeah, it needs to be publicized because, I mean, no pun intended, it is a hidden gem. I mean, you walk around and it's like, oh, we keep going, oh, do you see this?
She stole from my joke book, my pun book, my book of puns. No, that was incredible. It sounds like they had a great time. I love that they took a field trip.
Same.
There. That's
and so,
cute.
Did we. So did we. We kept saying that to each other too.
Linnea, at this point, you're two for two.
I know, where
museums.
Am I going next?
Where are you going next? We'll leave it there for now. That's Reset producer Linnea Dominic and Reset intern Jules Yeager. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and Jules Yeager, and it was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Micah Yasin. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss another one. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again this afternoon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.